This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers.
Yes.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Cyber Monday, where the suit is sitting in the back of the studio. And who knows how much he's bought. All I know is Amazon already has a truck parked outside the radio station. Tell me I'm wrong, Todd.
I can neither confirm nor deny.
That tells you exactly what's happening. All right. This half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, the best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory, with the Sunbury Motors guarantee and a terrific service department that backs it up every step of the way. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. A person that does not need Cyber Monday because he pretty much has everything in life, and I'm not surprised. Nate Bauer, welcome, sir.
You know, relationships are my gift in life. I don't need the physical things of this world.
That was well played.
Thank you. Very nice. Thank you. Well played. What's going on?
Not too much. I already told the story about telling my wife last weekend. Yeah, this is on Friday. Hey, by the way, you know, it turns out I'm not going to have a show on Friday because there's a wrestling meet that the station's going to carry. I said, there's no basketball game that weekend. I said, I've got the whole weekend off. She looks at me, that's great. Let's make some plans. Then Saturday happened, and I came home from the game Saturday night, and I said, there's been a change in plans.
Yeah, things got busier.
So busy in a good way. So the scenario with which how this played out, first of all, how stunned were you that Ohio State lost to Michigan? I know it's they'd lost 3 years in a row, but different time, different people. How stunned were you by what you saw?
Well, we're talking about it now, so it's going to sound like revisionist history, but I wasn't. Honestly,
okay, I was.
A week talking about it as a possibility that shouldn't be overlooked. I think this is me on a soapbox, but college football is such a wild ecosystem to me of media and fans, everybody just assumes chalk when the entire appeal of the sport in real life is that chalk loses all the time.
Yeah.
Like, it just, it happens. I didn't even know about the line being 3 touchdowns for Ohio State until after the fact. That's stunning to me in a certain respect. I don't know that college football has had a true juggernaut this season. I think that Ohio State showed that at Penn State. I think they showed that in the loss to Oregon. There were just, to me, some signs out there. And Michigan, for all of their flaws, and it's not like they were any better offensively on Saturday against Ohio State than they've been all season. That's a total train wreck. But if you can play defense and you can keep that team out of the end zone, which is the same thing that Penn State did to Ohio State, then you got a chance. And that's exactly what ended up happening.
Didn't even consider it. Never even thought about it. Now, part of it, too, is I've been so locked into just the fact that Penn State could win the game, they'd get automatically into the playoff. I had not really I didn't even look at the tiebreakers. I even had to go up to Chris at halftime, Chris Peterson, and ask her to make sure, because I was just like so tunneled on that I didn't really think too much about it, and I also knew that Michigan couldn't score.
Turns out they didn't need to.
Right, but I knew that Graham and Grant were going to create problems for that offensive line all day. They're just superior players. But then it plays out that way, and now this scenario comes up. First of all, your thoughts on the four-game winning streak, which essentially were four playoff games to get to the playoff by this team.
Yep. Look, you had to obviously overcome some issues out at Minnesota to get there. I mean, I thought that there were dominant wins along the way. Washington wasn't really competitive, right? Penn State put up 28 points in the first half. Purdue obviously is just down bad. I mean, that's just a program in a bad way right now. They beat Minnesota out there, obviously, and needed some heroics to do it. And then Maryland is Maryland. This is just a game that Penn State has had a lot of success in. And even though, look, two things. One, I thought it was very interesting that there was no acknowledgement inside of Beaver Stadium from, and I assume this was a directive from upstairs, right? And when I say upstairs, I mean James Franklin himself, to not put the outcome of that game in Columbus on the scoreboard, to not talk about it, to not make that recognition. But they knew, right? Those guys knew. Those players knew.
Oh, no, James told them. No, James told them. James told them that you win the game, you're the Big Ten championship game. He did tell them.
Yeah. So, exactly. So, through the first quarter, a couple of hiccups and not exactly the first half performance that I think they would have wanted until, obviously, they got things going there in the second quarter, I should say. Penn State has made, and when I say Penn State, I mean James Franklin, with the program, have made such routine out of eliminating drama, right? They don't lose these games. Right. You can think back to some of the blips, right, that derailed 2017, maybe, right, that Michigan State game. But they have not stubbed their toes in these types of games, and they did it again this year where they avoided the loss that Ohio State couldn't. And so now Penn State's in that driver's seat and in that position to potentially win the Big Ten.
So have you run through scenarios with people about outcome? Because there are going to be, eight teams that are going to be out there. The other conferences are doing whatever they want to do. But the Power Four, there are going to be eight teams that are playing an extra game to do this. So what are the scenarios you've put together?
Yeah, so, and this is not my deal normally, but for whatever reason, I've fallen into it this year, and it has been very interesting. I think that, and I don't know if you heard what James Franklin had to say yesterday about it, but
I did not.
I think some of the subtext is James Franklin, Penn State will riot, right? Burn down buildings if Notre Dame or Ohio State are seated above them, regardless, right? Obviously, if Penn State wins, they're a top four seed, probably number one or number two in the college football playoff, and that is what it is. But if Penn State loses this weekend to Oregon, the idea that a two-loss Ohio State team that did not earn the opportunity to lose a third game in the Big Ten championship would be seated above them, I think will create incredible politicking and frustration internally. And the same is true of Notre Dame, right? Notre Dame, this has been a storyline over the last couple of weeks. of is Notre Dame gaining ground? Penn State has been positioned above them in the playoff rankings throughout the playoff rankings the past 3 weeks. And so did Notre Dame do something at Southern Cal to suggest that they should leapfrog Penn State going into this weekend, where, again, as an independent, Notre Dame does not have a championship game to play? So, the bottom line here is, in reality, I think that 8 is the absolute floor. I think that in James Franklin's mind, in Penn State's mind, 6 should be the absolute floor.
Right.
And most likely, if Penn State is competitive with the number one team in the country and wins, the number one and number two are in play. And if they are competitive and lose, then it should be 5.
Yeah. Because, look, if Ohio State were playing Oregon and Ohio State were to lose again to Oregon, hypothetically, where do you think they'd be seated?
Exactly. They would be seated number 5.
Yes.
If Penn State did
There's
not
no difference
get into
here.
The Big Ten championship, right, if they had not, if Ohio State had won that game on Saturday, there is no question that the winner and loser of the Big Ten championship between Oregon and Ohio State would be ranked 1 and 5.
Right.
Like, it's just not even, no other entertaining to do on that scenario. At worst, 6, dependent on what happens between Texas and Georgia. But the whole vibe here, and I'm literally kind of writing about it right now, is the College Football Playoff Committee will be under intense pressure. And when I say intense pressure, it's self-preservation pressure to make sure that the loser of the conference championship game of the two dominant conferences in the sport are ranked 5 and 6 in the seeding.
That's right. That's right. And again, Notre Dame has, in my opinion, two things working against them. One, okay, they're not playing a conference championship game, thus their resume is complete. Two, that resume includes a loss to Northern Illinois. Nobody else has that loss. They do. Right? I mean, that if you're going to look at the whole body of work, Texas isn't going to have a loss like that. Georgia doesn't have a loss like that. Penn State wouldn't. Oregon wouldn't. Sorry. You played the game. You didn't win.
And something that is an important piece of the conversation is Notre Dame's best wins, right? So there's this whole conversation happening about beating top 25 teams. And when they say that, they're talking about teams that are ranked right now. So Illinois will be Penn State's lone ranked win this season.
That's right.
Notre Dame's lone ranked win was Texas A&M. Texas A&M will not be ranked, or shouldn't be ranked, probably will not be ranked by the playoff committee after the last weekend.
Right.
So with that, their best win on that spectrum, right, is gone. And then on top of that, if you look at the analytics say that Southern Cal, for both of these teams, that Southern Cal is still a good win. Like, the analytics don't care. Southern Cal has repeatedly lost games where it was in a position to win in the fourth quarter this season. And so the analytics love them. They love Louisville, and they did like Texas A&M. They probably still like Texas A&M. But all of those wins that would be considered feathers in the cap of Notre Dame, just they don't hold water. They don't carry any more weight than does Notre Dame's loss, as you said, to Northern Illinois, which is, I mean, it's, there's no other way to spin that is a bad loss for Notre Dame to lose that game at home.
Right. And I know it's a long time ago. I know they've won, I think they've won 11 in a row, 10 in a row, and they're playing really well. Well, you're still going to get a home game out of it. You're good.
Yep.
Okay? You're going to be in the top 8, okay? But you have to give deference to the two power conferences because they play better schedules than you have. like week in and week out. But Penn State, I've told people when they've asked me, tell me if I'm wrong about that, that Penn State has a lot of wins against good teams. I didn't say great. I didn't say outstanding, right? But they have a lot of wins against good teams. And there have been a lot of good teams that have beaten some of the other teams out there. Vanderbilt over Alabama is an example. Your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I think that, and again, like if, when I talk about analytics, you look at things like SP+, FEI, right? There's all these acronyms. FPI is ESPN's proprietary power index.
Yeah.
A lot of Penn State's wins this season are in this sweet spot of kind of the mid-30s
yes.
to the mid-40s and 50s.
Yep.
Wisconsin, Illinois, you know,
Minnesota.
Even UCLA is 57.
USC,
62.
Yep.
Southern Cal is still up there. Southern Cal is 18 in that
yep.
metric.
Yep.
So Penn State has played. Minnesota is higher than people realize. Minnesota's at 31 in that metric. So the meat of Penn State's schedule, even with Kent State, which is the worst team in college football, even with that on their schedule, Penn State's schedule and strength of schedule are just considerably better than the heart of what Notre Dame has needed to go through to win games this season. And again, I think that you saw that in where Penn State and Notre Dame were positioned initially in the playoff rankings, and will continue to be so even after, regardless of what happens, right? People are talking about Penn State getting blown out. I don't think that's going to happen in the first place. They're 3-point dogs in this game. But even if Penn State were to lose by 2 touchdowns, I'm not sure that that changes the perception of you cannot penalize a team that got to the conference championship game in the SEC and or the Big Ten. Can't do it.
I also think the timing of the game, as somebody who's done a couple of Big Ten basketball championship games in his career with teams that, by the way, both ended up making the NCAA tournament, that's the last game played, period, before the final comes out. In fact, Dick Girardi and I were doing the post-game show at the United Center a year and a half ago, and we went in and found out it was Texas A&M because they had already announced it, right? Okay, right. I mean, that's how we found out, right? But that my point is, this is the last game to be played. They're going to have already every scenario except for that one on the board, and they're going to have it's A or B, and that's what they're going to do. They're not going to change up from A or B. I mean, that's why the other part, the time, they're not going to go to bed going, oh my goodness, what do we do now?
Yep. No, 100%. I don't think I'm very interested for myself because I do feel so strongly about it. I will be stunned if Penn State is not the 5 or 6 seed.
Right.
If they lose the game. And honestly, I am very much of the mindset that Oregon is a team that has presented itself this season as beatable.
Oh no, that's
props.
Exactly right.
To
right,
that team. And that program
going win.
Unbeaten, that is impossible to do in today's college football.
Difficult.
But also, they're not unbeatable. Right? They have some holes in that team. I think quarterback is one of them that can be exploited with the right matchups.
Right. But see, this is what because obviously I had done no work on Oregon leading into the game until yesterday. So it's the first time I've really looked at their numbers. I think the fans would be shocked to see that the numbers that Penn State and Oregon have are eerily the same across the board. There's nothing they said to say, oh boy, the rushing number's the same, the passing number's the same, the turnover numbers are close. I mean, everything's the same.
Yep. Yep. And look, I understand that there will be disagreement to what I'm about to say, but I would put Drew Aller up against Gabriel.
I already did.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave it at that.
Yeah, I think that those are important components. I think that Dan Lanning is a little bit more of a wild card than people acknowledge. I think that you and I are in the same boat in a lot of instances where we are not in a position to watch a ton of national games given
Agreed.
The schedule for Penn State.
Yep.
But we all watched that Wisconsin game, right? We saw that. I saw some of that Boise State game earlier in the season, yep. right? That there are elements to again, this Oregon team that if it is uncompetitive, I would be very, very surprised.
Yeah, I'd be very surprised as well. I think this has all the makings of a great game.
Something
that's interesting about that's a little different for them, and I'll let you go here, is that I think a lot of people think Oregon goes for it on fourth down all the time, which over the years, he's gone for it on fourth down in like some interesting moments. They've only gone for it on fourth down 15 times this year. They're 9 of 15 on fourth down, which for them... Okay. Now they probably hadn't had many fourth downs, but in the past he's done that, where he's gone for it on fourth down a lot. This year it's only been 15 times, and now the 2-point conversion thing. No offense, that could happen in any minute.
Yep.
I mean, they'll do, but you know what? On 2-point conversions, they've only gone for it. But twice. Isn't it? That's the interesting part. They've only gone for it on a couple of times. I think they've gone for 2 points on 3 times this year, so it hasn't been crazy.
They clearly have earned the opportunity, right? They've been number one since October 20th.
They've earned
20th,
it.
Right? Since they've been consistent. They are, by all metrics, the best team in the country in terms right. of they haven't lost a game.
Yeah.
They're the only one still standing right. in that respect.
Right.
But they're just not. And again, like going back to that analytics conversation, they're sixth in the FBI.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. If you look yeah. at their strength of schedule, the teams that they've beaten, how they've beaten them, all of those different things, I think it's a closer mm-hmm. matchup than
yeah.
it might seem. And for Penn State winning this game would give it, deserved or not, like this boost in every conceivable mm-hmm. scenario.
Like, yeah, no question.
Yes, seeding in the top four for sure, but on top of that, all of the stuff that has plagued James Franklin through his career and really over the past 10 years of Penn State football, this boogeyman of top five team, right? This is the number one yeah. team in the country.
Sure.
If Penn State wins this game, it just changes perceptions. It has the ability to really evolve
right.
where Penn State is positioned and the respect that it gains from kind of the mm. national broader conversation at large.
Right. And by the way, just to amend it, Oregon's gone for 2-5 times this year. They're 3-5. But I'm just mentioning that because it's been part of Dan Lanning's MO. Hey,
yep.
Nate, thanks so much. Really appreciate you as always. Looking forward to seeing you in Indianapolis.
Anytime. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Thanks, my friend. All right. We will come back with more in a moment. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors on News Radio 1070 WKO.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury wants to see you and thank you for your years of patronage.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.